Hello, this is my Advent diary for December the 24th, 2018. Today is Christmas Eve. And for today's reflection, I want to share a portion of what I preached yesterday morning at Trinity Church for the fourth Sunday of Advent. My text for the sermon was Mary's song in the first chapter of Luke, the song we call the Magnificat. Here is how that song reads. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Throughout the season of Advent, we've been reading and reflecting on passages from the prophet Isaiah. And let me tell you, the prophet Isaiah, for me this Advent season, has been a palate cleanser. And maybe he has been for you. Maybe he's a palate cleanser for any of us who've grown weary of the vacuous, bland, anemic, do-nothing God most mainline Protestants seem to gravitate towards these days. What Isaiah reports he's heard from God is far from bland, as we've read. In fact, Isaiah's word from the Lord is downright unsettling. God is loose in the world, judging nations, upending empires, and setting right all of the things people get wrong. Isaiah puts the word of God's warning on those more concerned about their own wealth and well-being than with those pushed to the margins. Isaiah puts a word of God's anger on those who have trampled over the poor for the sake of profit. Isaiah puts a word of God's judgment on those who have sacrificed faithfulness to God's covenant on the altar of national security. To read Isaiah's oracles against the Assyrian Empire and the kingdoms of Judah and Israel is to come face to face with the human propensity for collusion and corruption, deal-making and deal-breaking. Some things, it seems, never change. But through the lens of faith, Isaiah sees when the new thing of God, this new thing that God is doing, Isaiah sees when it will overwhelm the old things human beings have been doing to each other for millennia. When we hear Mary's song, which was a reply to Elizabeth, her cousin, calling her blessed amongst women, we are not hearing the words of a retiring, frightened little girl. The Magnificat, the song of Mary, contains the words of a prophet. These are the words of a preacher who has seen through the eyes of faith the coming of God into the world. And how does she know God is about to be born in the world? Because she is carrying God in her person. Mary stands in the tradition of the prophets, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea, and all the rest. She also stands in the long line of strong women who have stood firm in the faith of their God, women with names like Deborah and Hannah, Ruth and Esther. Mary hears the word of God from Gabriel. Mary bears the word of God in her body, and Mary will birth the word of God into the world. The prophets preach the word of God in words. Mary will deliver the word of God in the flesh. Mary's words to her kinswoman Elizabeth echo the same sorts of new things the prophet believed God would one day perform. And what sorts of new things will God bring about? Scattering the proud, dethroning the powerful, lifting up the lowly, filling the hungry, sending the rich away empty. Mary's vision of God's new thing is an upending of humans doing business as usual. Mary's vision is not about a God who dwells in a house of worship, patiently waiting for a weekly religious ceremony. No, the God of Mary is the God who is actively at work in the world. Mary's understanding of God is that God is judging the proud and powerful, while simultaneously putting right all that the rich and powerful have gotten wrong. To hold on to such promises when you are a young, unmarried, pregnant woman from the hills, whilst your country is occupied by the world's mightiest military, is a witness to Mary's strength, resolve, faithfulness, and tenacity. Her words are not the words of a head-in-the-clouds idealist. Rather, they are the gritty words of a faithful realist. She stands in contradiction to our accepted notions of what power looks like. We think power resides in an Oval Office in a White House. We think power resides in the frenzy of Wall Street. We think power resides in the ability to project economic and military might around the globe. Mary's song forcefully reminds us that our vision of the world is occluded because we are more enamored of the way the world works than the way God does. And how do we begin to see aright again? Magnify the Lord. Rejoice in God your Savior. Keep the faith. Wait for God. I don't need to rehearse all of the examples of cruelty, irresponsibility, hatred, and callousness that pervade our world right now. For those of us who are the sensitive sort, the moment-by-moment narration of such things can be overwhelming. If we're not careful, we can feel our souls drowning in the deluge of fear and sadness, grief and pain. And this is why, for me, Christmas always comes at just the right time, especially in times when I'm not feeling particularly Christmassy. Christmas reminds me that God won't leave us alone. Christmas reminds us that the status quo will eventually wither under the brightness of God's glory. Christmas reminds us that the purveyors of power will not get the last word on how the world works. Christmas reminds us that God is still doing a new thing. Christmas reminds us that miracles show up in out-of-the-way places to unknown people. Christmas is coming, and the herald of God among us is the one who carries the Holy One in the depths of her person. God is doing a new thing. The world will never be the same, and neither will we. Let us pray. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.